Emmanuel Church from the old Baptist.
Oh, Emmanuel Baptist?
Yeah, they used to invite people for Thanksgiving. You could go there, the homeless and whatever.
Huh. Well, that's nice.
They had open house and
yeah.
You could go and eat there. But not with this guy.
No.
Yeah. Plus, they probably didn't have a service where the guy preached. You know, just food.
I can't remember. That's a little while
yeah,
back.
Yeah. This is the only church I've heard of that has done that, and I'm thankful the Lord put it in our hearts. Amen.
God has had that on my heart for about a
year and a half. Yeah. For a church Thanksgiving? Yeah.
For the church.
Oh
but
man.
I think it would never happen at the church that we were in.
They wouldn't go that way. Yeah, yeah. So. Well, don't forget to pray for Val because she's in severe tooth pain. Phyllis.
Yes. Speaking of this church, our church that my husband passed was just like this church.
Amen.
We had every meal, Christmas, New Year's. We had a New Year's. Everybody came.
Wow.
People wouldn't go out. We used to invite the people from around this thing so they won't go out drinking.
Yeah.
And,
we had
always a big meal. Easter, we would have a big meal.
Every holiday.
Every holiday. Plus, we would celebrate their birthdays like you did.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and everybody loved it.
Yeah.
We had 300 people, but it was... we had 300 people in the church, but it started like this.
Yes, and they had 300 church members right here in Hooksett. So folks, you know, we're in the process of growth right now. The sky's the limit with our God. Yeah, so praise the Lord. We need to keep on that right track. Amen. God's going to bless. He's going to continue to bless. Well, let's grab our hymnals at this time and we'll stand for our final hymn prior to the sermon. Let's go to 62. We'll stand for hymn 62. Just love singing about the cross. Can't get enough of it. It's funny. Saved people, the cross to them is the power of God unto salvation. To lost people, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. They say, why bother, you know? They don't understand. But 62, Sir Isaac Watts wrote many a good one. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Thank you, Lord.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?
Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Great singing this morning and great time of worship. Those words, I tell you, they're just precious to the believer because it's personal. Amen? Between you and him. Yes, indeed. Sir Isaac Watts. Boy, oh boy. What a blessing. Well, folks, a couple of announcements as we're opening our Bibles. Open our Bibles to John's Gospel this morning. And a couple of announcements. John chapter 7, by the way. A week from today, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Table service. First Sunday every other month. And that is always a blessing. So come prepared for that next Sunday night. And then I have another announcement. Oh, yeah. Tonight, we're starting a brand new series in the Bible. And I'm not telling you the title of it. You'll have to come to find out. But it'll be good. It's from the Bible. So you can trust that. But it's going to be a blessing. I was yesterday, after I got up from sleeping, because I worked Friday night, I was praying and asking the Lord what to bring for this next Sunday night series. And he showed me. He showed me indeed. It's going to be good stuff. Folks, at this time, let's grab our Bibles and open up to John chapter 7. Jesus goes to Jerusalem here in the 7th of John to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus Christ kept all the feasts because he was born under the Mosaic Code. He kept the law of Moses in all points for you and I. Amen? So that we don't have to. I'm so glad of that. We're under grace, not under law. But look here in John chapter 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And first of all, we find out where Jesus is. Of course, he's in Jerusalem for the feast. But look at here, before he goes up to the feast, I want to show you something very interesting. How many of you know that the NIV Bible is demonic? I mean, it is bad news for modern man. I call it the non-inspired version, NIV. And let me show you why. The NIV calls Jesus Christ a liar. Look here in verse 2. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. All right? So Jesus says, okay, boys, go up. Look at verse 8. Go ye up, he tells his disciples, go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. In the NIV, it says, I go not up to this feast. That's what it says. I go not up to this feast. Look at verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast. But the NIV says in verse 8, Jesus said, I go not up. I won't go. Then in verse 10, he goes up, making Jesus Christ a liar. Now, folks, I'm not picking on anybody's version. I'm just saying this is important stuff. You know, people accuse us of being narrow-minded. Amen. Guilty as charged. People accuse us of being old-fashioned. Amen. Guilty as charged. But I got a reason for it. Now, look with me here in verse 28. That's not my message. Here's my message. I want to talk to you in what I've entitled my sermon this morning, Two Great Cries. Two Great Cries. Because in this chapter, as I was looking through here yesterday, I saw that Jesus Christ makes two incredible great cries to the people. Look with me in verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. He's trying to get these religious leaders of the Jews to see who he is, the Messiah that was promised. Verse 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Arrest this man. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Drop down to verse, they ask, why? Why can't we come? Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried is another cry, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Beloved, I want to speak to you briefly this morning on two great cries. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the words in red. How we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the Feast of Tabernacles in the 7th chapter of John and telling the people that they had a choice to make, that they had two options and two only. And Lord, how we thank you for these two incredible great cries of the Savior to the world of mankind. I'm thankful, Lord, that these two great cries of Jesus Christ are still ringing throughout the nations of the world today, 2,000 years later. Father, we ask you to bless your word today, and by your Holy Spirit, show us what meaneth these two great cries. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus is at the temple, preaching the gospel to the Jews. And in his preaching, he makes two great cries. He makes one, a cry of prohibition. And in verse 34, look at it. In verse 34, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Notice the cry of prohibition in verse 34. Jesus says, where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then he makes a cry of invitation. Look with me in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now notice here, he's telling the people that certain individuals will be prohibited from going to heaven, and that certain others will have an open invitation to go to heaven. This morning, beloved, because it's no different today as it was 2,000 years ago, I'd like for us to examine these two great cries to planet Earth. First, I want us to see clearly a cry of prohibition. A cry of prohibition. Look in verse 34. Jesus Christ says, ye shall seek me. Now, who's he talking to? Look at verse 32. The religious leadership of Israel. He says, you guys will seek me, but look at it. You shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Jesus Christ pointed his fingers at those Pharisees and those Sadducees and those religious leaders. And he says, you guys have no chance of coming where I'm at. No way. There was something blocking them. Something prohibiting them from making heaven their home. Notice here that Jesus does not say in verse 34, where I go, ye cannot come. See that? Look at verse 34. He says, where I am, ye cannot come. He didn't say, where I go, ye cannot come. Where I am, ye cannot come. Now, this brings two questions to mind. First of all, in this cry of prohibition, where was Jesus that they could not come to where he was? Second of all, why could not they come to where he was? First, the first question we have to answer is where was Jesus that they could not come to? Listen carefully, beloved. In verse 34, Jesus says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, thither ye cannot come. Now, Jesus Christ was living in the presence of God continuously. Amen? Jesus Christ never stepped out of God's holy will. He was filled with the love of God unceasingly. He was rejoicing in the will of God victoriously. He was guided by the Spirit of God completely. He was kept by the power of God perfectly. And in spirit, this was where he was. And this was where they could not come. Yes, the eventual climax of his life would be to die on the cross, raise from the dead, and go back to heaven. And he would be there. But he's not talking about heaven in verse 34. He's talking about where he was in verse 34. Where was Jesus in verse 34? Go to Mark chapter 10. Jesus was abiding in the presence of his Father unceasingly. And he said, that's where you boys cannot come. You don't want the Holy Spirit. In chapter 10 of Mark's Gospel, you've got to see this rightly. In verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him, Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Don't you love this scene? Little Sydney comes along, and Jesus picks her up and says, oh, my darling little daughter, I love you, and heaven is your home. He touched them. And look what it says. And he blessed them. Now, folks, here's what you need to see. Jesus is saying, back to our text in John chapter 7, that they are where I am. Those little children, let's follow me. He's saying they are where I am. You know the little children are spiritually alive? They're spiritually alive because they haven't sinned yet. They don't even know what sin is. They're unaccountable. So he says, of such as these little children is the kingdom of my Father. And he says, they are where I am. What did Jesus lack? He had no sin. Now those little ones, they had a sin nature. Sydney, I'm sure, does wrong from time to time, Mom. But she's not accountable. She's innocent. Are you listening? As a little child, if ye will not receive heaven as a little child, ye cannot come thither. Jesus is saying, you need to be like me. You need to be like these little ones if you want to make heaven your home. Now, Billy Graham reports that America now has the highest per capita boredom of any spot on earth. We know this is true because we have the greatest number of artificial amusements of any country in the world. Americans have become so bored and so empty that they can't even entertain themselves anymore. People in America now pay other people to amuse them, to make them laugh, to try to make them feel happy for a few minutes, to try to make them lose that awful, frightening, hollow feeling inside, that terrible, dreadful feeling of being lost and alone, because that's what they are. That's why they're feeding themselves with all this Hollywood junk and all these drugs and alcohol and sexual pornography and all this filthiness. Why? Because they're empty and they're trying to fill that void inside that only Jesus Christ can fill. Are you listening? Why can't they come to where he is? You know what their real problem is? They cannot come to where Jesus is. They cannot because they will not. Jesus didn't force them to reject him. Jesus would never do that. They chose to reject him. And he said, okay, you can't come where I am then. You don't want me? You don't love me? You don't want to follow me? Go your own way. But you cannot come to where I'm at. You cannot, you will not. Now listen, folks. Jesus makes this cry of prohibition. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. But secondly, concerning this cry of prohibition, we have a second question. We need to see why they could not come to where he was. Listen now. Why could they not come to where he was? Verse 28. Look at it. Chapter 7. Look at verse 28. Then cried Jesus. This is the first cry of prohibition. In the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. Folks, listen to me. Jesus is saying because of their ignorance in not knowing God personally, they were excluded, prohibited from coming to where Jesus was. If you want to live in the presence of Jesus Christ, you want to live a spirit-filled, abundant, victorious Christian life, you've got to go to where Jesus is. We don't go to the filth of the world to find Jesus. Amen? Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You're not going to find him in the bar room. Now listen, because of their pride, they were self-satisfied. Because of their unbelief, they believed not on him as the true witness from God. So that in their present condition, for them to come to where he was an impossibility. People, listen to me. The spiritual lesson here is simple. We cannot come to where Jesus Christ is unless we first possess the Christ-like nature. And this divine change cannot occur except there be a genuine repentance from sin and a turning away from it to Jesus Christ. Jesus is simply saying to them, ye cannot come to me unless you come the way I came. That is by being born of the Spirit of God. He says, you need something more than your religion, and that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. John chapter 8. Flip over a page, you'll be there. Look at John chapter 8, at this incredible passage. In John 8, look at verse 19. Then said they, the religious crowd, unto him, Jesus, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. There's the problem. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. Let me make a statement. You cannot know Jesus Christ and not know God as your father. Amen. Likewise, you cannot have God as your father if you don't love Jesus Christ. Amen. Look what he says. If ye had known me, ye should have also known my father. 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Beloved, here is a frightening verse. These religious people, Jesus says, you cannot come to heaven to be with me. Why? Because they were rejecting the redemption that he was offering. They didn't even know his father. And he says, you can't come to be with me where I'm going to be. Oh, this is a serious message this morning from the Gospel Herald. It was the beginning of a long holiday weekend. The service station was crowded with cars waiting to gas up. This is the days when they would gas pump the gas for you. Those days are gone. Finally, the attendant hustled up to the local minister's car, who had been waiting in line for quite some time. Sorry about the delay, Pastor Kingsley, the young man apologized, but it seems as if everybody waits till the last minute to get ready for the trip they planned. The preacher smiled and said, it's okay, Johnny. I know exactly what you mean. I have the same problem in my business. Yeah, listen, the problem is that people cannot come to where Jesus is because they remain unprepared for the journey. They remain in a state of unbelief, a state of regeneration, a state of being lost and without God, dead spiritually. They're not prepared for the journey. That's why they can't come. That's why they could not come to where Jesus was. Now, something else here. We have a second cry. That's the cry of prohibition. But secondly, we have a cry of invitation. I love this. Look with me at verse 37. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now, the Lord Jesus makes a second cry here. In verse 37, he turns to those who were thirsting, those who were desiring a deeper, truer, holier spiritual life. Folks, it doesn't happen by accident. Amen? The abundant Christian life will not happen to you mistakenly. You have to want it. Hello? I'm talking to people who are already saved. Now listen, he's inviting them to come to drink of his truth, to drink of his spirit, is to come where he is. Two things we must observe in this cry of invitation. First, who it was that Jesus gave this invitation to. Second, what it was that he promised to do for them. Now, first of all, notice who it was that Jesus gives this invitation to. It is to, look at verse 37. The text tells you, in that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man, what?
Thirst.
Let him come unto me. Why were the Pharisees prohibited? No thirst for Jesus Christ. Most people have no desire for Jesus Christ. That's why you're in the minority this morning, church. I'm so glad you're in the house of God, because you have a thirst for the Son of God that that world out there does not have. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. This invitation is given to all those who are invited, who are thirsty, to drink. The invitation is to himself. Did you notice that? Jesus didn't say, come to the Baptist church. Look at it. Verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Folks, the invitation is not to a religion. The invitation is not to a secular university or a self-help guru. The invitation is to a person whose name is Jesus Christ. Listen, it is not come to the temple or the church. It is not come to the baptistry tank. It is not come to keeping the Ten Commandments of Torah. It is not come to this denomination or that. But he says, come unto me. It's me that you need. I've got exactly what you need today. We must drink of his love and forgiveness. We must drink of his word and spirit. We must drink of his precious sin-cleansing blood. And we must drink of his grace and truth. But first, we must thirst for it. Jesus said, if any man, woman, boy, or girl, thirst, let him come unto me. Jesus Christ is the only one who ever could honestly challenge the thirsty souls of men to prove him as the all-sufficient one to meet their every need. Do you realize that? What Jesus said in verse 37, no other person in history could make that statement and mean it. You're thirsty spiritually? Come to me. Jesus said, I'll quench your thirst. Buddha can't do that. Allah? Forget about it. Muhammad? He'll have you doing something else. I am so glad that Jesus can quench my thirst. Amen? He's the only one that can. John chapter 12. Hold your place. We're coming back. In John chapter 12, look what Jesus Christ says in verse 44. Powerful passage here. Jesus what? Cried. There it is again. Whenever you see the words Jesus cried and said, pay attention, because he means business. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. He's saying, listen, I'm inviting all those who are tired of the darkness of this world, who thirst for light, I'll give it to you. Just come to me. All you got to do is put your first foot forward to Jesus Christ. He'll meet you halfway down the aisle. Amen? He says, you come unto me, I'll not only receive you, but I will give you something no one else can give you. The Spirit of the living God to indwell you. Wow! Jesus Christ says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Amen? What a blessing. Now, the incredible Corrie Ten Boom was once speaking in a large penitentiary, telling the prisoners of the Savior's love. She was reading Matthew 5:14, quote, ye are the light of the world. She told them that after they received the Lord Jesus, they would have the duty of being the light in the darkness of that prison. Suddenly, one of the prisoners stood and yelled out, but some of us are murderers. How could we be the light of the world? Corrie turned to him and said, oh yes, Moses was also a murderer. David was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. But we know them as heroes of God today. Just look what God did with this trio of murderers, and you'll see that there is hope for you and me. All we have to do is accept his gospel invitation. First of all, his invitation is to the thirsty. But there's something else we must see. That is what it was that he promised them. What did Jesus Christ promise them? Listen, watch what it is. Back to our text. John chapter 7. Watch what Jesus promised them. something very special. 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now listen, folks. Verse 39 says clearly, the text interprets itself. "This spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive." Amen? Now listen, Jesus is telling them that if and when they come into this place of blessing, then we have come to where he is. Did you catch it? You want to be where Jesus is? You've got to come into the place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Jesus was. Always. Day and night, 24/7, the man was spirit-filled. The man never lied. The man never cheated. The man never spoke a bad word. He never sinned. And he said, "You want to be like me? You want to be where I am? You want to live in my realm? You're going to need the Holy Ghost." And I got him to give. Now, listen carefully, folks. We receive his Holy Spirit in this drinking, which is believing. Three things I want to give you in closing concerning this promise of the Messiah. First, I want you to see its location. Second, I want you to see its effect. And finally, we'll see its guarantee. First of all, notice its location. Verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The location clearly is within you. He's within you. Amen? I am so thankful this morning that God didn't abandon me when he saved me, but he came and dwelt in me. Wow! He says, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water," which he spake concerning the Holy Spirit. We know that. Beloved, the treasure of this promise of Jesus is that it is received within the soul of the believer. Look in John chapter 4. This gal was in deep trouble because of her sin, but she found some living water. Look at this. In John chapter 4, look at verse 13. Jesus, Samaritan woman at the well. "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be" where? "In him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Jesus said, "Not so fast. First go call your husband." You know what Jesus was saying? He says, "You want it? That's good, but you got to repent." He knew she had no husband, and she knew the fellow she was with wasn't her husband. So Jesus put his finger right on her sin and said, "You want living water? Repent of that. Repent of that guy and come to me, and I'll give it to you." Amen? Listen, folks, the treasure of this divine promise is received within the soul of every true believer. That's the location of it within. But secondly, notice its effect. Verse 38, notice its effect. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Beloved, listen to me. The effect of receiving this divine treasure of the Spirit is that we have new life within. A divine life is implanted in your soul, enabling you to do things you'd never be able to do without Jesus Christ's Spirit. Listen, the effect of receiving this blessed promise is that we are made alive spiritually by the indwelling Christ. Look in chapter 5. John chapter 5, hold your place again. And look with me at verse 24. John 5, 24, words in red. "Verily, verily," what's that mean? "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Jesus says, all those who believe on me and receive me have made a transition. They've passed a great gulf. Their sins are gone. They've gone from a state of spiritual death to a state of life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, that's so good. We're made alive spiritually. That's the effect. of this precious promise. But thirdly and finally, notice its guarantee. Verse 38 again. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the what? Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Folks, listen to me. Whatever the scripture says, it's guaranteed. You can bank on it. Jesus gives us a divine guarantee that all those who desire this promise shall receive it. Go to Zechariah chapter 14. Hold your place. Come back. Zechariah, just before Matthew and Malachi, Malachi for you Italians. And Zechariah chapter 14. Look at this verse. In Zechariah chapter 14, prophecy of what the Messiah would do for his people. Zechariah chapter 14, look with me at verse number 8. The prophet says, "By the Holy Ghost, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be." The Lord says right here that living waters are going to go forth into this world from Jerusalem, where he died, was crucified, buried, and rose again, and where Jerusalem, he sent down the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, those living waters are going to go all over the world, and it's going to bring healing to all those it touches. Folks, listen carefully. What the Lord promises here in this cry of invitation is that he that believeth on him shall enter into that blessed fullness of that wondrous abundant life that he came to give. Listen, by this promised Spirit of Christ, the fountains of the old life will be dried up and another fountain opened up within, which fountain has its source in the living God and whose streams will flow out to reach others. Its effect, it'll flow out of you and it will touch other people's lives. Wow! What a great promise! Beloved, I see two great cries. One of prohibition. Ye cannot come to where I am because you don't believe. But one of invitation. Come unto me, all ye that thirst. I will give you rest. But which cry applies to you today, I wonder? And for those listening around the world, I'm so glad for our worldwide listening audience. Which cry applies to you? Do you have a cry of prohibition that you cannot go where Jesus is because you have not believed? Or do you have a cry of invitation that says, "Come unto me, all ye that thirst, all ye that thirst, and I will give you living waters"? I'm so thankful this morning that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In closing, let me give you this from the burning bush. An article recently told of two rude tombstones in the Sahara Desert, which mark a most tragic tale of thirst. Listen, the wealthy Egyptian merchant Abd Ishay paid his camel driver, Eric, $22,500 for a mouthful of water. But it was too late. Within 1 hour, both were dead of dehydration and thirst. Yet it was discovered that only 200 yards in the distance, there was a well of water that would have saved them both. Beloved, listen to me. How accurately does this real-life incident portray the spiritual drought of the world today? Multitudes are dying of thirst, while the well of living water that would have saved them is only a few steps away. No, it's one step away. The step of faith. The step of faith will bring life everlasting. Living water that will flow through you and touch people's lives. Listen, Jesus said in verse 37, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And drink. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the cry of invitation. Lord, yes, it breaks our hearts that those Sadducees and Pharisees, those Sanhedrin, would not come to you. They could not come to you because of their unbelief. But Lord, we're so thankful this morning that like this group in church this morning, there are multitudes all around this world that have answered the cry of invitation, that have thirsted for the Son of God and the salvation that he offers, that have come to the altar of sacrifice where Jesus cleansed them from sin with his own precious blood. Lord, we thank you that that cry of invitation is still going out. It's still active. And Lord, I thank you that any man, woman, boy, or girl under the sound of my voice can receive the living water of the Holy Spirit right now by trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior from sin. And I'm going to do something different this morning, Lord. I want to, because of our worldwide listening audience, if you're listening to me and you want to go to heaven, you want to escape the flames of hell, and you want your sins forgiven, and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, just pray something like this. Say, Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. I also believe that you came to this earth 2,000 years ago. You lived a sinless life. You died on the cross. You shed your blood for my sins. So right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to become my Savior from sin. Wash my sins away in your precious blood and give me the living waters of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I repent. Lord, I turn from my own way of doing things. I want Jesus in my life right now. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And Lord, I pray that now that I have accepted you by your Holy Spirit within me, you'd help me to live for your honor and glory all of the days of my life on earth. And that you'll receive me into the glory of your beautiful heaven when I die. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals at this time. And let's open up for a hymn of invitation. I'm so thankful I see here everyone in church this morning has that living water. You've been saved. Praise God. But I believe everybody here in church this morning knows somebody that needs him. Amen? Somebody that needs the living water of God's Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. And as we sing, I want you to bring that person to your heart's mind and pray that they would come to know Jesus Christ as you do. Oh yes, 84. Hymn 84, folks. Let's stand for this time of invitation. The altar is open. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray for that dear one. William Featherstone wrote, "My Jesus, I love thee." I love thee. We'll sing the first and second. Pray that somebody gets saved. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the bodies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus,
second.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me.
Yeah.
And purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I love thee. Forbearing the thorns on thy brow.
That's what he did.
If ever I love thee, my Jesus is
Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Dave, don't go nowhere. We're going to have Brother Dave dismiss us in prayer. Don't forget, tonight at 6, if you can join us, we'll be starting a brand new series. It's going to be great.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message. Mm. And we thank you for your unfailing mercies.
Oh.
And I just pray that you will save people that are in my heart. And
yes, Lord.
Everybody's heart. That we know that they're lost, and we would just love to spend eternity with them as well.
Yes.
And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, people.